All right, welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. You know how we do things around here. We grab some seriously dense material and, well, we try to break it down, make it make sense.
Yeah, make it fun.
Yeah, fun. So today we're looking at this excerpt all about data-driven evolutionary optimization. Catchy, right?
Definitely rolls right off the tongue.
But honestly, even I was a bit intimidated when I first saw this title. AI, physics, problem-solving. It's like they threw everything in there.
It is a lot, but honestly, that's what makes this stuff so exciting. It's like right at that edge where disciplines are all smashing together.
So, are you telling me that this deep dive is going to have something for everyone?
Oh, absolutely. If you've ever wondered how we can use data to not just understand the world, but actually make it better, well, this is it.
All right, I'm sold. Let's jump in. So, the source keeps using this phrase, data-driven evolutionary optimization. And I got to be honest, it sounds a bit like science fiction.
Right. But it's actually more straightforward than it sounds. Think about it this way. For a long time, optimization was all about math, right? Equations, formulas, kind of like a static recipe for finding the best solution.
Right. You plug in the numbers, the formula spits out an answer.
Exactly. But now we're swimming in data, right? And this data, it's not just numbers on a spreadsheet, it's information about how the world actually works in real time.
I see where you're going with this. So instead of relying on some fixed formula, we can actually use this real-world data to find solutions that are, well, more realistic.
Way more realistic and more powerful, too. Instead of being limited by our assumptions, we can let the data guide us towards solutions that we might never have even thought of.
So it's kind of like instead of having a map that just shows distances, we now have a GPS that knows about traffic, accidents, even road closures. It can actually adapt to the changing world around us.
Perfect analogy. It's like optimization on steroids.
I like it. But our source also mentions a whole bunch of challenges with this approach. Words like non-convexity and multimodality. Honestly, they sound a bit like something out of a physics textbook.
Yeah, they're definitely a mouthful, but they point to some real head scratchers in this field.
Okay, so let's break it down. Non-convexity. What's that all about?
All right. Imagine you're trying to find the highest peak in a mountain range, right? But it's a weird mountain range, lots of peaks and valleys, all kind of jumbled together.
I'm picturing it, not the kind of place I'd want to go hiking.
Exactly. And that's a problem. If you're just climbing upwards, you might get stuck on a smaller peak and think, hey, this must be the top, but there could be a whole other higher peak just over the next ridge.
So it's not just about finding a solution, it's about making sure it's the best possible solution. Trippy. And what about multimodality? Does that have something to do with modes of transportation?
Not quite. Multimodality means there might be multiple solutions that are all equally good. So, back to our mountain analogy. Imagine there are several peaks that are all exactly the same height.
I see. So how do you choose which one to go with?
That's the challenge. Sometimes it doesn't matter too much, but in other cases, the choice can have big implications. And it can really mess with algorithms, making them jump back and forth between equally good solutions without ever settling on one.
Okay, so we've got these tricky landscapes, multiple solutions, and I'm guessing the more data we have, the bigger these problems become.
Definitely. When you're dealing with millions or even billions of data points, things can get computationally very, very expensive.
Sounds like we're in for a bumpy ride. But the source does mention some ways to tackle these issues, right? Something about physics-informed models and knowledge-driven AI. Are those the silver bullets here?
They're definitely powerful tools in our arsenal. With physics-informed models, we're basically injecting some real-world knowledge into our algorithms.
Give me an example. I'm a bit lost.
Sure. Imagine we're trying to design a more fuel-efficient car. Instead of just crunching data from past designs, we can actually incorporate the laws of physics into our model, things like aerodynamics, friction, thermodynamics.
I see. So we're not just blindly searching for a solution. We're giving the algorithm some guidance based on what we already know about how the world works.
Exactly. And that can be incredibly powerful. Not only can it make the optimization process faster and more efficient, but it can also lead to solutions that are more robust and reliable.
Okay, so that's physics-informed models. And what about knowledge-driven AI? Is that like giving the AI a textbook to read?
Kind of. It's about incorporating a much broader range of knowledge into the AI, going beyond just physics.
So what else can we throw in there?
Well, think about designing a new type of airplane wing. We can feed the AI data from past designs, but we can also give it information about bird flight patterns, weather patterns, even material science. Basically, any knowledge that could help it make better decisions.
So the AI isn't just learning from data. It's learning from, well, everything we know about the world. That's pretty wild.
It is. And this kind of thinking takes us closer to the idea of general AI.
Ooh, the big one. AI that can think like us, solve problems like us. But I thought we were still decades away from that.
We are, but data-driven optimization, especially when combined with knowledge-driven AI, is a big step in that direction. We're teaching AI not just to perform tasks, but to understand the underlying principles behind those tasks.
So we're not just building smarter machines, we're building machines that can think. Is that too dramatic?
Maybe a little dramatic, but we are definitely pushing the boundaries of what AI can do.
And what about the implications of all this? I mean, we've talked about cars and airplanes, but where else could this technology be used?
Oh, the possibilities are endless. Think about optimizing traffic flow in a city, designing new drugs, even creating personalized education plans. Any field where complex decisions need to be made could benefit from this.
So we're not just talking about making things slightly better. We're talking about a fundamental shift in how we approach problem solving.
Exactly. And it's a shift that's happening right now.
So if I'm understanding this right, data-driven evolutionary optimization is not just some fancy new algorithm. It's a whole new way of thinking.
Absolutely. It's about harnessing the power of data, combining it with our human knowledge, and letting them work together to create solutions that we couldn't have imagined before.
Wow. It's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? To think that we're on the verge of creating AI that can not only solve problems, but actually understand the world around us.
It is, and it raises a lot of big questions. If we can teach machines to think like this, what does that mean for the future of humanity?
Right. Will we still need to make decisions? Will we even be able to keep up with these super smart machines?
I don't have those answers, but I think those are the kind of questions we need to be asking.
Definitely. Well, this has been a wild ride, folks. From confusing jargon to the future of AI and humanity, we've covered a lot of ground today.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
As always, we encourage you to do your own deep dive, read more about data-driven evolutionary optimization, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the future of AI? Let's keep this conversation going.
See you next time.
Bye, everyone.